This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 15, with my very special guests, Jest and Hugo Cheguin, aka DJ Beats from People Just Do Nothing, Corrupt FM, all that excellent stuff. As always, it's recorded in my front room, there's fuckloads of swearing, I get real boozy. If you love the Thanks for Trying podcast, make sure you subscribe on iTunes, on whatever it is you use for your podcasts. Make sure you leave a comment, share it, tell people, all of that. And on September the 17th, if you are in London, buy tickets and come down to the Thanks for Trying podcast live. We are back. If you came to the one in December, you know it gets fucking ridiculous. Starring returning guest, Doc Brown, and second returning guest, Asim Chowdhury, aka your buddy G. Tickets are selling real fast. Make sure you go cop them right now. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome to episode 15 of the Thanks for Trying podcast with my very special guests, Jest and Hugo, aka DJ Beats.
Yeah.
There's tons of people in. Tons of people in here.
100,000.
100,000. There's just
hard tickets.
Man, like we sold out.
Yeah.
Early.
It's a Shellers.
It was one of them raves,
it's
man.
A Stormzy show.
Jeez. Thank you both for coming. I really appreciate that.
I like that. Bro. That's yeah. Like we're both. Yeah. Your bro.
That's both cool. Bros.
Like that. That's cool.
Man, just invented a new word within like 30 seconds of the podcast.
I like to keep it moving like that, you know, just keep on reinventing myself, you know, like David Bowie. Yeah.
Rewriting the dictionary.
Yeah, debut. Like.
Do you, boo boo?
So, all right. So let's start off. Let's start off with the hard. Hustle the promo, because I think that's a beautiful
promo.
I think it's a beautiful place to start. Jest, you've got it's a new album.
Yeah, it's called the Hard Hustle Promo.
Great
mixtape
part two. Hosted by DJ Clue.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
94 tunes,
perfect. Yeah. Not enough tunes, some might say.
And that's on DatPiff right now.
Great.
You can get that.
datpiff.demon.gov.org.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right,
that's
perfect.
The I don't one. Even know.
GeoCities.
That's the one.
All right, great.
Theresa May's my CEO.
Great,
and
good.
How we, you know
she's
what I mean?
So good at handling things.
In it. Iron Fist of Incompetence Recordings. Is the label.
I've definitely watched the porno with that exact
the porno we turned it into a record label.
So tell me about the goddamn album.
No, the album is called Billy Green Is Dead, based on or taking inspiration taken from the Gil Scott Heron joint.
Okay. Because I didn't know that.
That's where I steal all of my ideas from people with far greater artistic right. skills than myself, and that's how you do modern art. That's what you do.
I agree. All of my art is stolen.
No, but you know, no idea is original.
That's a very good point.
We've been stroking our beards.
When you do have a beard now, you just
stroke. Because before I was just the heir and it didn't have command the same authority.
I feel very naked.
It's like, look at this guy pretending to stroke an imaginary beard. So I said, no,
I feel very naked without a beard, and it's a very
tough
situation.
What happened? You had the OG. You had the, you know what I mean? He was deep in the beard game early, if I remember rightly. I have to give you full
beard. I was 12 points. Years old, I had a beard.
Standard,
man. Like, fuck. I'd had a beard for a long time, but, you know, I found that I was hiding being fat under my beard.
Mm.
And so when I got rid of it, I was like, now I've got no excuse. I have to lose weight.
Oh, I thought it was a Benjamin Button type thing.
Yeah, that's it. Lose 10 years.
You're regressing, like you're just getting.
That's true. I mentally.
You're
regress.
Going backwards through puberty right now.
Were you the
shop guy? Your voice is unbreaking live on air.
I know.
like by the end of the podcast.
How long did it take for you to grow that? Because that's quite a...
It's about as long as it took yours to fall out with the... Took a while. It's been like, you know, it's got cut back.
You're right, okay.
It suffered some cutbacks under the Tory regime.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But then I said, nah, and I came back full power to the people. That's the, you know what I mean? It's been a love-hate relationship.
It's been a process.
It's been a love-hate relationship, shall we say. Some people, you know what I mean? Not always... Doesn't always go down well.
Hugo, have you always had a beard? I definitely feel like envy right now.
Yeah. I've never Mac Freed it ever.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
You've never shaved a razor?
I look like a... I had to do it for the first series. I look like a swollen pig. So, a baby pig child. So
sick.
Yeah.
Mad bear pig.
Yeah. It's, you know, same as you, man. I am fat, so I hide it all. It's a good hiding technique.
It's a great... I found that like it gave great definition and context to my face.
Yeah, yeah.
So like without it, you know, there was, you know, I felt
this
like...
It's a really bonding right now.
It's a bonding situation.
You can square up the jaw a bit.
Touch.
Yeah, like, yeah. Definitely.
I thought, you know, someone might punch someone just then, but it's actually the deeper
bond. It's a beautiful
bond.
Moment. Mm. Yeah, no. It's 2017, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's very relatable.
Keeping it so hipster right now.
Oh, 100%.
Beard talk. It's did you bring any craft ales for me to review? Because I'll happily do that. That's we can go really full hipster.
I mean,
and I'll just break nut IPAs and whatnot.
I actually did big you up in a previous podcast because we were talking about when we were staying at my house in Manor House years ago. Ooh. And we were out in the garden and we were like, fucking hell, man, Shoreditch has changed. We're talking about Hackney's changed. It's all these hipsters, man, fuck. And then we both looked at each other and went, oh my God, you're a rapper that's running his own label.
It was us.
And then, I was out in the garden doing like gardening, wearing a pink Dale Winton supermarket suite jumper. Wow. And we were like, that is us.
Wow,
you were those guys, man.
We contributed.
No, yeah, definitely.
We made our contribution.
Well, listen, if he's not going to promote it, because his album is all about Theresa May.
It is. I mean, what's the deal? I don't know. Am I speaking live or in the future tense or this goes out next week,
so you can.
So I'm like, it's out now. Go and buy the album.
You want, but then people
the album
added mystery. People may listen to this in a year's time.
If you listen to it in a year's time, still cop the album.
Still cop it.
Please. It's been a year.
There's only two copies sold.
Two sales.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So
let's hope not.
So it's YNR. It's YNR. That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. To just keep. I kind of knocked on a couple of doors. I did think, you know, let me see what's out there on the label flex, but it just makes sense. It just made sense. It didn't make, you know, it just made sense to keep building.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm dealing with the workload of it right now,
juggling
plates and wearing all the different hats and just trying to keep it moving. But yeah, it's YNR, it's a strong look. Great. Butcher, Beat Butcher, co-executive producer, kind of helped me just kind of focus on a bunch of tracks and really kind of build like the sonic kind of identity of the album.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of more focused on trying to take it in a concept direction with like the content of the songs. Yeah. So it was a good dynamic kind of push and pull because you know Butcher is like the ultimate hater. He hates everything.
Yeah.
It's all whack. Yeah. So you know, in a way, it was, you know, not only did it get rid, you know, it kind of got through a lot of demos that were like, all right, you know, you're going through like 40, 50, 60 tracks and you're just like, I don't know whether there's even an album in all these recordings.
Yeah.
But then once I started fighting for, so you know, because sometimes it'd be a song, they'd be like, no, I'm not feeling, I'd be like, no, I have to use this. So then you fight for it and then you try and make the song as, you know, get the approval, get it up to a certain level, standard of production and whatnot. So, you know, it was another like Blood, Sweat and Tears album. Yeah. It was like, every time I do an album, I say this, like, I want to just make an album in a controlled environment, in a controlled, like amount of time space and with a certain, it never really works out like that, you know, so.
But also because you end up dragging songs, I know personally, like for my new album, songs that I made 3 years ago are on this album because they're just, they fit in perfectly. It doesn't matter when they're made, if the vibe is right and you know it's meant to be there. Sometimes it's a feeling more than anything else. Yeah. There you go, more.
I think songs as well that are out now, probably generally, unless you're like Khaled or Drake or someone, like they've generally been around on a computer for like a couple years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Definitely.
Pretty like normal. People might not say it, but.
Yeah. They've definitely lived a little bit.
Because a lot of people that may not know that obviously you are a ridiculous songwriter.
Real talk. Producer. Yeah. Drop science on this because people would need to know, man.
It's very important. Like, so you've produced and written for a lot of very successful people.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Go on. Now's the time. This is where you need a drink. Just
I'm lucky, man. That's
so it's Emily Sandé, of course.
He's keeping it Kendrick Lamar right now. He's keeping it real.
Yeah, Emily, Sam Smith, a few other
minor artists that you probably didn't really.
It's like pop music, but I didn't start making pop music. But
okay, so where did you start out? What kind of vibe did you start with?
I just wanted to make Jay Dilla beats for like 10 years, and then I decided that I'm not Jay Dilla and I'm just gonna, you know.
It's a tough realization we've got. Yeah.
Like the shittest Jay Dilla beats I've ever heard. Like out of key bass lines and shit. But yeah.
Yeah, we all deal with that. And so at what point did you go, fuck it, I just need to... Because you're in a duo as well.
Yeah, it's not just me. I work with a guy called Harry Craze, who's like sick. Like he was part of sort of early dubstep and like Antisocial. I don't know if you heard of them, but...
Yep.
Yeah, he's all part of that movement. And yeah, he's super, super sick, man. I think he felt sorry for me, to be honest. Like he felt sorry for me working in Foot Locker and helped me out. So yeah. Yeah, he brought me on his journey.
Sick.
But then he stopped getting discount on the
I still got the plug. I've still got a bad habit, yeah.
Damn. So at what point, so People Just Do Nothing obviously came about quite a few years now, and we spoke on the podcast to Sipa and asked him about it separately, but it's quite interesting to get a take from the third angle.
Yeah.
So for you, like, what did it mean to you when it began and kind of what were your hopes for it?
The idea just came from us fucking around in my bedroom and like I got a remix opportunity basically and done that, and then like my friend was working at a label and he was like, I want to manage you. I didn't even know what a manager was, and then
I still don't.
Yeah. And then then I just kept getting more and more opportunities, and then Steve and Sipa and everyone wanted to film these ideas, and then it's kind of simultaneously, but then one of the tunes that we made in the bedroom, Emily Sandé, the tune Heaven, like obviously kind of popped off and changed my life a bit.
No doubt.
But then it's kind of like they kind of started to move at a similar time.
Yeah. So it all kind of organically kind of turned a bit mad. But that's dope that it started out as a bedroom situation. Like, and that's also inspirational for a lot of people knowing that.
Yeah, man. You know? It's like, obviously when you first do something like that, people like your friends and stuff give you their opinions, and generally they're like, yeah, it's all right, but
fuck those people.
Yeah, but the risk is what it's about, and that changed everything, like even music, whatever, you just got to take that risk, innit?
I think right now we're at a point with music, with everything, that the stuff coming out of people's bedrooms is as good as, if not better than, all these people in these fucking ridiculous studios.
Definitely.
And it's so important to encourage every single fucking kid out there wants to do it, knowing that you can make a hit record with whatever
made
you
next
have.
To me in my bedroom in like a shithole in a flat in Brentford. Like,
damn.
Yeah. Obviously, they got choirs and shit on it, but the bones of it.
In the bedroom.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Yeah. The whole choir.
Bringing them up the stairs. The lift's broken.
Yeah.
Bring them up the stairs.
Nah.
It's on the 10th floor.
Shit. Was it all these experiences that kind of, that came and inspired the Corrupt FM stuff? Because...
No, it's early, like, just growing up in Brentford, really, and, like, going on pirate radio and stuff like that with Steve and other friends and stuff like that was probably the main...
Did you know, like, how much of a common experience
in terms of for how it would speak to other people. Because for me, straight away, it was like
HFM.
Anyone, even before, I mean, yeah, I mean, you, this guy trying to hot me up. And like, I didn't say that, yo. Yeah. But on the real, like, even before that, I mean, not even necessarily on a hip hop tip, but just the general, the culture of pirate growing up, you know.
I thought we all grew up around it from being from London, like, it's you.
I'm saying this from an outside of London perspective, even though, because I've seen it in, you know, places like Huddersfield, Manchester, Leeds. It still was totally relatable.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea? You didn't think it was just a London thing, or it's a West London thing, or how did you see it?
It was a London thing, definitely, because, like, you know, obviously there was pirates we used to tune into to get the tapes from, like, South and East and stuff like that, but... Yeah, I didn't really realise, man, until we started to do festivals that kids from, like, Bristol or...
Nottingham,
all those areas, they would tell me that's what they done when they grew up and stuff. Mm. And then I was like...
I mean, some of them places, it's kind of still like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's not actually that far.
How does that compare to you? Because obviously... You've been touring for many, many years around these, like, towns that aren't London, that all these places that are forgotten about. And you know,
you just parred off the whole country. Yeah. These places around, they're not London.
There's London, and then there's small London, and there's some other place that looks like London.
Yeah, this guy, typical Londoner, isn't he?
How do you feel that these people, you know, that there's so many people that relate to, especially to your music when they... You know, I've been there. I've DJed for you in a couple of places as well. I mean, so I've seen it.
I guess it's the same thing, isn't it? Because it's just like if you're speaking about things that are, or you're speaking from a perspective that is kind of true to you, that you're also not taking yourself too seriously and able to laugh at it a little bit or see the duality of it.
Yeah.
That's common to any, you know, kids anyway. Also, I think that sometimes people forget, like I'm saying, it's still like that in certain places. So people can, like, write it off. Especially in London, people kind of write stuff off quickly where they'll be like, oh yeah, but you know, your fans are all however old now, especially if you've been doing it from a certain era. But it's like, yo, this is just youth music. This is just is what it is. It's rock and roll. It's just part of the common cultural landscape now. Yeah. They used to think that we were some kind of niche thing. And in a way, that's what a lot of it's about. A lot of the perspective we speak from, whether it's like in the music or with like the show, it's kind of like, look at Doc, for example, Doc's show, where he was showing you this perspective of coming from this rap thing that didn't quite fit in. But now look at where he is and he's speaking on it. It's like these are becoming mainstream narratives now.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of narrative of we used to be this niche thing.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. We were looked at like this. But really, like, now we're here talking about, like, we might actually be getting people into office and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's real. You know, we're in the information age. So
I feel things circulate, though. And when they circulate, they get bigger and bigger. Like,
no doubt.
Especially with, like... I can talk from garage. Like now it's certified at every festival. Like, it used to just be drum and bass and reggae.
Yeah.
Like that you'd find in just every tent. But now it's drum and bass, reggae, garage, grime.
Yeah.
And the same with like UK hip hop as well. Like you see that there's a big like presence of it at most festivals as well.
Yeah. It's crazy how it was the whole UK rap, UK hip hop thing is turned full circle. You must have seen it now. Like, it was such a dirty word. Like,
it just twists and turns, though, doesn't it? I don't know if it's as simple as, you know, full circle. I can see what you're saying, though, but it just...
Because you're not a fan of grime. You're not a grime guy, like, or you...
It's not even that I'm not a fan of grime. I just felt like I've took objection to the way the media treated it as if
it's new, like
no
new,
one had ever rapped before. Like, like black kids in a hood in England had never got on the mic and spit bars until Wiley made a record. I thought that was just a massive injustice to
made a record, you know, they didn't even know about that.
But you know, do you feel I'm coming for put on a rave or when got on radio or whatever. You know, I don't know the history like that to say this is the marker point.
Yeah.
But all I know is, hold up,
you know, but I think people always see that stance coming from me as, oh, but they're like these rap guys and they're bitter because they didn't have the type of media platform. But it, I mean, in a way we kind of did, but it's the nature of the media platforms, how something's new. That so last year's shit is old. This is what we're selling this year. So we'd kind of already seen it. But also anyone who actually is a like a music nerd, like I'm a music geek, like so how are we going to pretend that none of these other records ever came out? And I'm not talking about my scene. I'm talking about records that was charted in like the 80s and 90s.
London Posse, for that just rap to begin with, you know.
You could go, there's so many examples that you could go. So that was really all it ever was with me. And so I think people like, it's not like I don't, obviously I'm a fan of rap. So to me, I'm like, that's rap. That's the other thing I always stood by, was the rest of the world, as time passes, are just going to see this as UK rap. And now what do people call it? They call it UK rap.
I know, it's hilarious.
Right? do they not? But you know, so it's kind of like, and then I'm sitting there thinking, what? And people thought I was hating for saying that kind of thing. But I'm like, to a mainstream audience, they don't know the difference between Twista rapping and like Beatnuts rapping. I'm just going to use some 90s examples. They don't know the difference. So why are they going to know the difference between Flip Tricks rapping and you know, Stormzy rapping? It's rapping, it's a kid rapping, it's a guy rapping. You're gonna start getting into breaking that people down demographically, which is what they started to do as well, and that just undermined a whole heap of unity that we actually have in this country. And that we have, so again, I was never blaming grime for that, but I'm like, yo, the way the media are treating this is kind of backwards. It's kind of you know. And then also I feel like it kind of just got political, because I might say, yo, they're treating it in a way that's racist, and then people be like, what, racist? Because what, racist to white people? I'm not racist to black people, because this is a very one-dimensional representation of young men.
And it's the same, it's the same thing.
They're not only on our arms, so where's the other? It's all shifted now, because people had to understand that was never really coming from the music, that was coming from what people give a platform. You know, like someone, I had a conversation with someone recently, they were gunning some pop artist for like saying, oh, the song was derogatory to women or whatever. And I was like, I have no doubt that it is, but that's the song that the label said, we want this to be the single, and we want this to be, you know, you can't just come at the artist 100%. It's a system, it's an entertainment industry.
Yeah.
There are things, you know, if you can package something in an easily understandable way, and often that's kind of derogatory, because you give people a simplified version of something, you know what I mean? So
I watched the Whitney Houston documentary last night, and it was really interesting to see that very early on in her career, she had her manager and her producers speaking about it, and that her label were like, no, no, you can't have anything too black on this album.
Right.
Like, no, 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 you need to make like white music. And so anything that they would take out like and play to the label, that no, you need more Janis Joplin, more whatever. And then, and they said, nah, what we, and he was like, what they meant by that is anything that sounded too, a little bit like George Clinton or anything
too
like that.
Too much funk.
And they're like,
it's the opposite.
Music and the entertainment industry and all of this, it reflects the wider society. So it's how, you know, it's always going to be, the picture's changing every day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, especially with the internet and all of that stuff now. It's just so quick. Everything's just so disposable.
Yeah,
and I think it's like a major, it's like a challenge now, because you can't, where these kind of gatekeepers have maybe like had this narrow kind of view, and that's the only, they can only, they're only getting perspective from a certain amount of kind of alternative platforms that are maybe big enough to make an impact.
Yeah,
but now it's like, it's so free for the kids to get online and present themselves in whatever way they want.
Yeah,
that a lot of those kind of social stereotypes have to, like, you just,
I just hate the word urban. I hate that shit. That always got to me back in the day. I was like, why the, what the fuck? How can you?
I heard somebody recently saying that an artist, a certain artist, and that their manager was describing them as urban jazz. And I thought, but wait a minute, how? Sorry, where did, what is jazz, rural? Like jazz is like countryside music? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what jazz is? Like, how does, so what weird. Is, so I don't know, but it's whatever's gonna like make somebody.
Because punk music is urban.
Yeah, I mean, what's, you
know. You're so ridiculous. Bruv, I'm gonna put my album as electronic on fucking
electronic
iTunes.
Electronic country.
Fuck this shit, yeah. Medieval
electro country
bro step jazz urban jazz
folk step.
Do you so when you're writing, do you ever have to consider this shit? Do people come to you and go, we need, you know,
we need suburban folk step on this one?
You cool have skeptic. Those fucking dickheads that come in who've had like a, I don't know, some sort of brainstorm and decide that they want their person to sound like Lauryn Hill / Kanye or whatever. Sing. All that shit, but like,
and they don't even want that, really.
They don't know what they want, man. It's one of banger,
one
like
of them brainstorms.
Yeah, it's all,
I've
that
had a brainstorm.
We just do whatever, man. Like, yeah. it's not that deep. It's just, you just gotta make something good.
Have you had some really like difficult interactions with some A&Rs? Like, what's been your kind of weird, or even the artists themselves, what's kind of been the weirdest thing you've come up? You don't have to name the artist.
One artist washed the Nando's chicken.
Wow.
Pretty weird.
So you told us this before we started recording, but Jess hadn't heard this story. So tell us a little bit.
Just
about
a big American urban singer.
Wow.
She asked the assistant engineer, the helper dude. Yeah, I feel like I'm part of them anyway. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be in there.
Like they make you feel like a helper.
Yeah. And he had to wash her Nando's because she was like...
It sounds like a euphemism.
You wash there, right?
It sounds like a euphemism for something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what? He
it's
had to
insane.
What?
So all of the flavor,
like, all of
everything.
It, the fries, everything. Like,
no, just the chicken. Just the chicken.
Just wash the spice off.
Yeah.
Was she like...
I don't know, man.
She just likes bland food. Is she from Barnsley or something?
No. She had that
she's
vibe.
She's not from Barnsley. All right. She's not from Preston.
It was weird, man. She had like a...
No disrespect.
Pimp husband vibe. It was a lot. Yeah.
Was he your manager as well?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Husband, manager.
Wow.
Vibes.
Hanager,
yeah. Had all that shit, man. Sessions are awkward with people you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, or that you.
Did she add sauces after?
No, just dry.
Were you not trying to figure it out? Like, I just want to understand the logic.
I was fascinated. I was like, I'm going to come with you and watch you wash it.
And break it down.
Yeah, he just washed
was
it.
Was there fairy liquid involved? No, like a scrubbing brush?
Just hands. No,
no
gloves.
No scouring.
No.
No marigolds.
Little rinse, yeah. Kitchen foil. Kitchen roll. Dry it off.
Oh, patted it dry.
Yeah, patted. Gave it a little pat down. And
this mysterious R&B singer who's had many, many hit records.
Yeah.
She's just about that life.
Yeah.
I mean, there must have been more awkward scenarios because you've worked with a lot of, you know, a lot of people, a lot of records that have been on
fishing,
the radio.
Fishing out here.
You know what? Come on now. We've had some fucking scoops here on the Thanks for Trying podcast.
Nothing really weird. Like, just having sessions with people we don't know is just mad awkward sometimes.
Like, Sam Smith's really a lizard.
No, he's actually proper jokes, man. Like, I wish he was a lizard.
He's a sick guy.
Yeah, he's a sick guy. Some people that are really like sick and inspiring, you're like, wow, I need to step my game up and stop wanting to go home early and shit.
That's all I want to do in sessions.
I was gonna say, you just want to go home early.
And then my studio's in my room.
Yeah.
So all I want to do is literally just go to sleep. While people are there,
but luckily, because he can't go home, he's still there.
He's trapped.
He's forced to step his game up.
You got to bounce that
instead
shit
of going home. So, but otherwise, he just wouldn't.
You got to do the fake yawn, man.
Oh my god!
Need a few techniques.
Tap the watch. I don't have
to do the fake yawn.
I've got some stuff to do.
Yeah,
don't really have anything to do. No, I just don't want a session to last longer than 25 minutes.
Yeah, man.
Just get in, like,
McDonald's,
put the bars down.
This guy's all about happy meals. Strictly.
I've had a guy, horrible, like, you know, big American exec guy who, like, does loads of horrible shit, like Flow Rider. I'm baiting him up.
Hard. No, that's fine.
Yeah, just say he wants a tune with like a theme of youthful exuberance and shit like that.
Okay,
yeah.
That's
horrible,
nice.
Horrible stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean, A&Rs are just the worst. I think we've all experienced them in many forms. You know, I think there's part of that idea that if you can afford to do an unpaid internship for that long to get a position like that, then you're probably going to be a cunt and you're probably going to have come from money.
Yeah. So that's what's good about now, is that like you don't have to come from like, you know, a rich family to make music. It's easier to be able to like get your stuff on Spotify and shit like that. So
people see through it a little bit more as well.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Which is, you know, definitely a bonus of our times. Like if you're not legit, if you don't have that whiff of authenticity.
Yeah, you can sniff. People aren't, that's probably the wrong word, but stupid anymore. Yeah. Like because of all of these things, you can find that shit out.
Are you gonna be doing like a producer project?
Yeah, got a few like things, undercover things that are out, like that I've been involved in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like.
Exclusive.
Yeah, it's not even that. I just don't think people give a shit. There's like a band me and my friend are in. Like,
okay.
It's not really a band, but
right.
We want to be a band. Called Isle of Indigo. We got one tune on SoundCloud. That's sick. It. Yeah.
Dope name.
Yeah. But that's it, really.
Are you playing? Is it a full band? Like you want a guitar up in there?
No, I can't play anything. I'm just on Logic.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
the best instrument there is. Logic
9 as well.
Yeah, I'm on Logic 9 as well. Man. But now, like, I got asked to do this this thing where for some magazine about show us around your studio. Could you be, you know, could you do this? And I'm like,
could you please not be wear more than like boxer shorts and socks, please? If we do this,
fuck. Yeah, that stops me from doing everything. No, but it's like I don't really have that much equipment. You know, to be a producer and a writer in this day and age, you don't need that much equipment. So it'd be very boring. I've got a fucking keyboard, my laptop, my mic, and my preamp, and I don't do it. Nothing else.
You don't need it.
I don't need it.
Nah.
You know.
Just need ideas.
But it looks cool when you got loads of shit.
No, it looks really cool. I'm really envious.
Yeah, my ego loves that shit. I love being in a big studio and feeling important for like 20 minutes.
And then you realise that it sounds really shit.
Then you realise that you're literally just using like the headphone jack from the laptop.
Yeah.
It's just going straight to the speaker. Like it's all being
bypassed.
And the
engineer doesn't know how to set the mic up properly and shit. And it's all just hectic.
Oh, I've been in those studios where the engineer has no fucking clue. And I'm like, let's take this session to my house.
They hire them in for the day and stuff. Like they're not, sometimes anyway.
And we're actually better engineers than most engineers.
Oh, I'd never let them touch anything, man. It turns mental. Yeah. Can you mix? Yeah.
I've had some like records just ruined by engineers that supposedly have had like top 10 hits.
Top 10?
Yeah.
No, thank you. Fuck that noise.
Yeah.
So Jest, I want to actually, before we go for the halftime break, the piss break, I want you to actually tell me
you don't play the Nas record.
One serious point about your album.
A serious point.
When is it out? That's quite an important point.
When people are hearing this, it's out.
Oh, so shit.
Out now in the future, sick. Which is the past, shit. Which is now.
Fucking hell,
it's out.
Is it your favorite album that you've done?
It's the best album ever made in the history of any rap related genre of music.
Another one.
Is it better than DJ Khaled's latest album?
Better than
he makes the best albums ever.
He does. I still
85 tracks.
Of course, it's better than DJ Khaled's album.
Does he produce those records?
I don't know, man. I just love him, man. I don't watch his Snapchat.
All I care about is whether or not he gets to the yacht. Like, if he's lost on his jet ski, I'll just hope his phone battery doesn't die and he can make it to the
yacht alert.
That's
yacht
alert. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that brother get eaten by a shark or any kind of marine wildlife. I don't want any harm to come to Khaled.
No, same, man.
Yeah,
little Khaled needs him.
He's good for humanity, man. We need a Khaled.
He is. And you know what? He actually paid his dues back in the day.
Yeah.
DJ
and shit.
DJ on radio. He was great.
All I do is win.
All right, we're going to go now for the piss break and we'll be back for part two of the Thanks for Trying podcast.
One fan.
Sorry, we're back on the Thanks for Trying podcast. Let's do the shot. Let's do the shot tradition. Let's cheers. Cheers to you. Thank you for coming. Cheers to you.
I'm not having a shot, but I'm pretending.
It's beautiful. Wow.
Van Damme. Mm.
All right. Okay. It's tradition now.
I'll have a line of Ket. Get weird.
Another one. Huh. So while we were off air as well, I feel like, yeah, I know that we're repeating this, but I feel it's quite important for people to know that you actually went to see Jest.
Yeah, man. 17 years old, Brighton, front row. Just me and loads of chicks going mad for you.
Ripping.
Wow. I was one of those chicks.
The good old days.
Yeah. I was going to offer you.
The operation came a couple of years later. Yeah. And here he is today.
A lot of hormones and problems, and I'm here. Yeah.
Hormones and problems.
Yeah.
The album.
We're coming.
The mixtape.
Another one.
That's deep. Damn. Yeah, no, I told you I was going to say I'm now going to act really nonchalant and unsurprised.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool.
But it makes you really happy though. Wait,
at the time when he actually said it, I actually, you know, started dancing.
You would have thought I was a piece of shit back then.
I did a little jig.
What era was this?
I would have thought you were a piece of shit back then. We could have glossed over that one, but no, it was too good.
This shit muncher away from me.
Why? You had a bag of girls with you. You were just in front of
them. No, I wasn't with the girls.
Oh.
No.
You were just on your own.
It was just me and there were girls trying to grab you and I was...
Wow,
I
those involved. Days.
How times have changed.
Isn't it? Yeah. How dare you?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, what era? What was his hit?
You see this?
What was his hit single? Drifter. Was it Ice Ice Baby? What era was...
It was the one I did with Rick Astley that year.
Yeah, that banger, yeah.
Okay, cool.
You were going on like, women don't try to grab me on stage anymore. How dare you?
How dare you?
You know what I mean? I'm regularly groped.
I just get dudes who want me to smoke zoots at their house and play FIFA. So big up those dudes.
And you were talking about the Corrupt FM shows, how you get a lot of kind of interesting fans and fan offers.
All sorts, yeah. It's mainly dudes that want to smoke weed with me and like hang out and play FIFA with them.
Right.
But, you know, the others get girls and all that stuff.
Who's getting all the girls? Let's beat the come on. We're going
in. Who's getting the girls?
Steve's got a girl.
He's a good guy.
He's quite mysterious.
I think not me, but they've all had their moments, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Political. Jabadi's on like men's magazine covers nowadays. Like he's real, really.
He's
up
got
there,
a girl
like,
now, but you know,
he's a symbol.
He's always been a sex symbol.
He is a sex symbol. Yeah.
He's like Seagal top half.
Formerly known as
bottom half Mobb Deep. Come on, it's irresistible. And like old Mobb Deep.
Classic Mobb Deep.
Baggy, just everything. Yeah. Tim's, all that.
QB.
Yeah.
Damn. They want you to play FIFA with them.
They want me to go back to their house and smoke weed, basically, and hang out. That's the general vibe.
Bless them. I mean, it's kind of sweet in a way.
Yeah, man.
They want him to just do nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Smart. I had to say it.
I just want to do nothing with me.
But that's what it is, isn't it? It's like they want to live the dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's real fandom, though. And that's got to be a beautiful thing because you've got, you know, it's when it's eclipsed a certain point where you know that there's people, regular people.
Yeah, it's surreal, man, because I'm just a piece of shit like everyone else. So
we all are.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's mad.
Yeah.
But I still won't go back to your house and smoke weed and play FIFA.
I'm still above that. I'm a piece of shit, but I'm not that.
Yeah, that's it.
God damn it.
Unless there's an appearance fee.
Nah.
Shit. Home appearances.
Yeah. Wow. Bar mitzvah money.
God. I made a home appearance once.
Did you?
Because my jacket had gone missing from a venue.
You had to go get that shit.
Go and get the jacket.
Was it an Avirex?
It wasn't, sadly. Oh. If it had been Avirex, I would have been even more...
It was the
fact that it had my house keys and my wallet in that, it was really the issue more than the jacket.
Why do I feel like I remember this scenario?
It was a bizarre scenario, man. Like actually going to some kid's house randomly with the promoter and getting let in by his dad at like... And having his dad like go and get him out of his... It was the most bizarre and surreal.
Did he steal the jacket?
Yeah.
What? Wow.
The night, you know, I was sitting there, it was just bizarre.
He stole the jacket.
It was really like something out of a
crime. Did he steal it because it was cold or because he wanted your jacket?
No idea. But that's, I needed to get back into my house when I went. You know what I mean? I didn't need to go back to
his dad's
Kilburn or wherever it was at the time I was living and be stood in the street when I got back.
So
there,
what did he say to when you came to his door?
He was in a kind of weird state of denial and his old man was kind of acting like it was something that was like a regular, like,
right. So he had a wardrobe full of jackets.
No, it was just bizarre. And then like the promoter, and like because the pops wasn't really like he was so weirdly lethargic about how we dealt with it. Then the promoter started trying to like parent the kid. It was a bit weird. The promoter's like, "You shouldn't have." I was just like,
"So how did they know that he took
out of here?" It was bizarre, man.
But how did they know that it was him that took the jacket? Sorry, this is very interesting to me. There's a lot of logistics here.
We kind of had to kind of stop people leaving the venue, and then when
someone snitched.
You know, the rest is...
It was all a ploy.
We have methods.
You got the snitch, man.
You know what I mean?
You never know.
Shout out the plug.
Yeah. Persuasive methods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like Suge Knight methods.
Mm. Well, you can't, but like, you got to get, you know, I had to get back into my house. Like, it wasn't one of them. It wasn't like a luxury item. Like if someone had come and jacked something from the rider or, you know, or,
the
you
cashews.
Know, whatever. The cashews, they can call. They can have the cashews.
Someone getting stabbed if they steal the cashews, man. Fuck that.
Wow. I remember that. Next time I'm around your green room,
yes, you can.
So I just reach out for a handful of cashews and lose a finger. Like,
you can have my jacket. You can have my keys. Wow. Just don't touch my cashews, man. Fuck.
That's the closest to like the guy and playing. There was no playing FIFA, but literally sitting on the couch. Could have had a quick game of FIFA while we waited.
I might actually do it one time.
I think you should do it. You should scare someone and actually take them up on the offer. Okay, do they want every member of Corrupt FM to go round? Or I just you?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Probably they mainly want Chabadi G at all times. Right. I'm sure he would be a big hit.
All of you just to move in.
Yeah.
How are these festivals for you? Because I've spoken to Sipa and
Surreal,
and
Asif, man.
Yeah,
like, I think these people... But, like, why the fuck are they paying us, these ugly freaks, to dance around for an hour 45 or whatever? Amazing. Yeah,
brilliant.
It's surreal, man.
It's so good though.
I don't know as much of it as possible.
Hey, I saw it at Brixton Academy. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking just mad, to be honest, man. Like, every time is surreal. Like,
yeah. And how was it? You won the BAFTA as well, so like that must have been a ridiculous feeling, like
man. I went quiet for about an hour afterwards.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was just fucking mad. Just being like near Louis Theroux and
the God,
Phil
the
from
God.
EastEnders and shit like that. Like
the other God.
It's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Yeah, but it's mad, man. It's just I feel they had to reach a quota or something. Like, we're just part of that. But it's still sick. Like,
the urban quota.
Yeah, we hit the urban quota button, like, a little bit. And,
You're just urban enough, kid.
Just enough.
Did you know before you had to go up on stage?
No. Everyone was saying we're not going to get it. There's something called Fleabag. I've never seen that.
I haven't seen it, but everything. It's had...
it's meant to be good, so that wins everything. So, yeah, I was just, like, thinking that was going to win. But I just liked the getting picked up in a sick car at my house.
Yeah.
Getting a... Ted Baker gave us suits and shit. Sick. So I felt important for, like... A bit, it's sick, man.
Until
we got there, and I was like,
I always imagine the walking up to the stage, because we had the last guest we had on the last episode was Georgina Campbell, and she won the BAFTA Best Actress the year two years ago, and she did the same thing. She said she had no idea that it was going to be her, and when it was called, it was like freaking out. Like, how do you?
Yeah, well, they kind of had a plan just in case. And then, like, because we were with Ash and he's in a wheelchair, couldn't actually get on the stage quickly. So we had to, like, fill the time.
And where's the award now?
I didn't get one.
Oh,
there's only three. There's only three. So, like, had to give it to the people that probably deserve it more than me, like Steve and the producer, John and Ash. So, it's all good, though.
That's kind, man. That's really kind. They could at least make you one of those, like, sketch ones. Like, you know...
Yeah, now you get a certificate, charcoal. I think. You get a certificate.
Take a photo of it.
Yeah, I've got a photo.
Great. That's important. You can put that up in the toilet. I've got a UMA that I stole from an act that I won't name publicly.
Not really the same, is it?
It's not the same. Right, but it's there anyway. I put a sticker over the top of the bit with a name on it. And I've just wrote, Skeptic, best guy ever.
That's what you want, man.
So that's pretty much... Yeah, you're that's killing as good it as well, a BAFTA, man. Right?
We're all award winners here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One day you can make it to his level.
I'm ready,
You
man.
Can be the best please, guy ever one day.
Please help me.
Shit.
He'll show you, it's fine.
You must have won awards in your time. Come on, you must have.
No, I feel like Falling Down was so well received for everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but apparently so.
It's a great album.
Thank you, appreciate that. No awards. I mean, no one's really giving out awards for. People getting awards. People are getting awards for kind of what I do, but not really what I do. Do you know what I mean? So they got a wood plaque somewhere in Camden. Shit,
sick.
In like, yeah, in the underworld somewhere in the
where
back
Kung
there.
Fu used
yeah.
to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, probably. Let's go and check. There should be.
Did you go to Kung Fu back in the day?
No, I didn't. I was too young, and like, I was worried it might be a bit stabby.
It was never stabby.
Yeah, it was really not that, man.
We never went out to North ever when we were younger. Yeah, I don't know why.
You were kind of.
I mean,
North,
yeah. They were, I mean, you know,
but IKEA some was of the, as far North as we go.
North, there was some crazy. You know, there was some crazy. You know, it's kind of a crazy place. But that we didn't pop up. You know, people knew to hold it down.
I wish I did go though. Like it was, you know. Iconic vibes. Icon alert.
Icon, yeah.
And you know, I like Jazz Cafe. I ain't actually been back. I ain't been there since they've just like after many years like refurbed it. And
yeah,
that's kind of crazy because that's like so much history there.
I saw Slum Village there when I was younger.
When Dilla was in a wheelchair.
No, I didn't get to see that one. Man.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. But you know, I saw Dilla, the Plastic People, and that's crazy. Oof. When that went, you know, and I was just thinking about that the other day. I randomly saw, I was like, damn.
That was like my sort of.
That was, I bet, yeah.
Spot
yeah,
for a
dubstep
time.
As well.
Yeah, like, it was sick, man. I loved it there. It's a shame.
And the, was it CDR?
Plastic People was sick.
Yeah, like, man, it's important.
But it was quite, it was quite abrasive. I remember because I was never into dubstep.
Yeah.
So going into Plastic, I played two sets there.
It was an ill sound system for, you know.
Yeah, it was sick. I played all vinyl, like rap set once there.
Yeah,
it was sick. But it was, it was a bit much when dubstep was first starting out and I decided I didn't like dubstep from the beginning.
You made the decision.
I made the decision.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of like, it was I mean, even probably still is like a space for a certain kind of hip hop art. Well, I mean, I say still is, it's not there, but that kind of venue, it fills a space that like it needs to be accommodated. Like if you think about it, there wasn't really anywhere else for someone like a Dilla or a Madlib.
The club scene's in a very, it's a great place at the moment because there is so much hip hop. Like in one night, there's fucking a bunch of good nights.
Yeah, no, I like that, man.
That's interesting.
But, you know,
that kind of like one of the things when you're referring to when you're saying, you know, about it coming in your mind, coming full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yet, but on the flip side, there's one thing that's slightly missing for me that I've kind of said a lot is there's not really nights where I could go and play brand new music that no one knows.
Right.
And
right.
that like when I played in India in January, and one of the best things about it was every gig that I played, I could play 1 a.m. in a club that's rammed and just play 2 hours of my own music that no one knows. And if it's bassy as fuck, everyone's dancing. And that's the one thing that's really missing from clubs in this country anyway.
I think people have a certain expectation though when they, you know, they're paying like, I don't know how much it is to get into a club, but like tickets, like £25, £20. Like you want it to be like fucking sick.
You want to hear the Drake album back to back.
I want to hear the Drake album. I want to hear all that shit. I don't want to hear some electronic bollocks. I'm joking. I just want to just enjoy it. But like,
yeah, there's a freedom to that as a DJ, being able to play whatever the fuck.
But then also when I was younger, I just liked bass lines, not like wobbles, dubstep shit, you know, like the real stuff.
Yeah,
I used to like proper appreciate that
because
man.
Dubstep evolved. Like it wasn't EDM, right? Like because
I know about it.
Are you talking about the, you know, like
early
the,
days,
like, the DMZ? Like
yeah,
the
DMZ, Mala, all those guys.
That shit was good.
Yeah,
all that stuff was sick.
Yeah,
very serious.
And then it just went fucking music, weird. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, a bit too.
Even like even, you know, Burial stuff was amazing. But actually, within that scene, that was kind of seen as being a little bit outside it and more something that was hyped by the media. But like to me, that was
that's
amazing.
A classic fucking, he's a sick guy. Man.
People still don't know who Burial is, right?
Well, they need to fucking.
He just put out a new record. And it's basically like sound design. There's not really any like. Beats,
but I mean, they still don't know who he is as a human being.
Well, people know who he is.
He'd done a picture,
people
didn't he? Because people
is,
were like
he?
Saying he was all sorts
he
of people.
He just didn't
that.
Court it. He didn't court the.
He's not about that life.
Culture.
Yeah.
So who is he?
Fuck knows. But
he's Banksy.
Yeah, he's part of Banksy's crew.
Can anyone enlighten me on something that I saw very briefly flash up in on the news, which was something about Banksy offering.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, right.
What did he do? He basically offered anyone in, was it just Bristol? Anyone in Bristol, a free print if they voted not Tory in Bristol.
Oh, what? So you could vote anyone other than Tory? You could vote
anyone, just not Tory. And I'm guessing not UKIP as well. But like, you know. But you never know.
He might have been endorsing. Who knows?
But then I think it backfired because.
Well, the electoral committee said you can't. This is illegal.
It's kind of bribery. Yeah, that's understandable. It's a nice idea.
But I thought, yeah, it did make me think, yeah, fair play, go on.
Another thing I wanted to talk to you about while I had you here is that. Because I was going through a bunch of my records. I got rid of loads of records recently. Well, this is it. I couldn't get rid of the UK classic rap records. I couldn't do it. So all the ones that I've kept are the classics, you know, whether it be all Universal Soldiers records, which is fucking classics, you know, wow. Trilogy Remix, obviously, you know, all of that shit. I've got fucking Wablo. You know, if you know,
I played that on my prom. It went off. Yeah.
That was a back. Listen, any if you out there, if you're not
school prom, not that. I
Do you know what? Can I?
You're
just,
American
can
school
I just
prom.
Be real? Like that. Actually, that was so big that it kind of got to the point where I actually forgot that the Black Rob record ever existed.
So this, I should explain first.
I'm not even saying that to be like on a hype. I genuinely forgot.
And it's important to note that like back in the UK rap days, a rap crew called Task Force, who are fucking incredible. Basically took the instrumental of a classic of a US rap record, which was huge at the time, and did called Whoa, and did a dub of it. It's called Wablo, which at the time in the area is you know it's like saying what's up. So and
is that old that we have to explain Wablo? Do you have to explain?
It's supposed to be an inclusive audience. Okay, you know you've got to include everybody. And this record was a very important. You know, it got printed on white label vinyl for the kids that don't know what that is.
White label.
Google it. And it was a dub, and it was fucking sick. But to the point where all the pirate radio stations were just playing Wablo.
To the point where it was getting played at the prom. Mm.
It was getting played at man's
prom. Oversized suit, shoulder pads on fleek. Shit. Shelling it down, Wablo.
Damn. Looking like Zach Morris.
Yes. Wow. Looking like a young me.
Looking like an 80s
TV presenter. Yeah. Killing it. Frosted tips.
Wow. That's fucking deep. And also, a side note that I'm going to come back to that.
Oh, okay.
But I've got my own tangent now. No, because look, I've had a couple vodkas, and I do want to come back to my selling records. Tangent. But I've, you know, I've been listening to this podcast about interesting TV conspiracy theories.
Oh shit!
And I heard some shit about Saved by the Bell. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Oh, about the dude.
No, this is about this fascinated me about Saved by the Bell, that apparently it's all a dream. It's all Zach's dream.
It was all a dream.
So basically there's this complete theory, yeah, that there was a TV show like called something like Miss Bliss or some shit like that. There was a TV show that came before starring the guy that plays Zach Morris. And he plays a character called Zach Morris in this show.
Is this less a conspiracy and more like an episode? No,
this is a serious theory. Like this,
no,
and this
but
is
did
very
they not make this as an episode. Like, oh, we've got to end the series.
No. This came before Saved by the Bell. This is very. You're gonna like this, all right?
Okay, my bad.
So
sorry.
In it, he's downtrodden. He's like not popular in school. The head teacher is this Miss Bliss woman who's like super funny, and she's the star of the show and everything. He's got AC Slater, played by the guy that plays AC Slater. Hates Zach Morris. He bullies him. Screech is in it, played by Screech, and he's pretty much the same character, right?
Yeah.
That TV show got cancelled. 2 years later, Saved by the Bell comes out. Zach Morris, played by the same guy, is in fucking Bayside. He's not, the original show is in Idaho or some shit in the middle of nowhere. He's in California. This is crazy.
Sorry, this is what
and all of a sudden he's the hero of the story, right?
Wow!
And so what
this
they're
is the
saying,
theory, or the you're saying there was this other show
that show actually happened.
Oh, that existed.
It existed. So basically, the theme song is all about you know, like waking up late, missing the school bus, da-da-da-da-da. And it's all about this kid, Zach Morris, which is downtrodden, everybody hates, but and he's in class just drifting off because everyone hates him.
Zach Morris is a working class hero. That's what's
then he wakes up by the bell, and he's in a dream which is saved by the bell.
This is where you're going. I knew it was going to be some kind of Stanley Kubrick, Orwellian type Alan Moore shit. Yeah, you know.
How do you feel about that? If the whole say, but he stops time, man. Come on,
I'm cool with that.
He stops time in the episode.
I'm cool with that. Inception, because, like, sort of.
Yeah,
I'm down. I hope it is that.
I really hope it is that, man. That's it's just such a beautiful. It makes me appreciate the show so much more. It's dark. He can't stop time, bruv. Like. That's a dream.
It's still going.
No, I'm in it now. You can't get me out of it.
30 seconds ago, he's about to edit it out. No, look. Right, the idea is if he goes for long enough, then I have to get it out now.
If you're listening to the podcast at home and you're down with this whole idea, you know, just hit me up because I think it's quite a serious thing that we all need to talk about.
I think you should actually dedicate. You should source the correct guests and actually do an entire
investigation
just on not even on like TV show conspiracies, just on Saved by the
Bell.
Just
on Saved by the Bell. I should get a collected dossier maybe of information.
I'm not sure who you could get on that show though.
Probably the guy that plays Zach
Morris. No, but I mean in real, like, I mean, is he? I don't know if he's regularly available.
The other guy went a bit.
Is he in your
mad?
Oh, Screech.
He went a bit rapey, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Poor, yeah.
He did. He
porn star.
He did the porno.
Yeah,
he did the Hitler the girl in the porno.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We've all got our niches.
I'll ask no more questions about.
Just Google what Hitlering is if you don't know. Fans at home. So, all right, back to UK rap. what I wanted to do. So I was getting rid of all of the records, but obviously kept all of your records.
You got rid of everyone's record except Universal Soldiers.
And I
think that's what you said. So I don't know whose other record you're cussing. I'm just going to get the vodka and brace
myself
for this.
I came back round to Champions of Nature and then obviously onto High Plains Anthem, which how do you feel about...
That's what I wanted to ask, is how do you feel about High Plains Anthem today?
I actually genuinely had to seek kind of approval from those guys for that. That was like my dossier. Like that was my, you know, how I was thinking about stuff because I had like my mind set on a certain type of sound.
Yeah.
That I felt like Lewis in particular,
Lewis Parker
had that sound. Lewis Parker had that sound, which is what he would call the golden sound.
Mm-hmm.
And people nowadays would say golden era rap, golden era hip hop, whatever. And Evil Ed, I'd learned a lot about how to make beats from Evil Ed and using like the Akai, the 950, and just. The kind of filter techniques that you were kind of hearing beat miners do. I was a big fan of the beat miners. So the way I was kind of trying to learn, I was just trying to get around the guys that I could learn. Right now, who else can I learn from? And Braintax, God forbid me mentioning his name, but I've done it now, was working with Lewis. Yeah, like for me, the High Plains record, that was the point at which I felt like from the minute I knew Lewis was feeling the beat for the High Plains, and I would just say that real, like, I can be real. I was seeking approval.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
We all do it, man.
And it was like, well, if this guy thinks it's ill, because this guy's got the beats, as far as I'm concerned, he's making stuff that really sounds like, you know, or he sounds like his own thing, but just that had the kind of sonic quality where you can't tell me it's not bumping the way the American stuff is, which is what the argument at the time kind of was. I mean, it was a wishy-washy time for like people doing it. It's not like people haven't been doing hip hop or doing rap records in the UK for years, but it was a bit of a time where there was a kind of like, because really this is before Soul Solid dropped and things like that, that really changed the landscape and stopped. I think it was within the music industry as well. It was something, Lewis was kind of an anomaly. Lewis was one of the few people that was out on Virgin.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. When really there was no rap signed to mainstream. Like, it was kind of like they dabbled with it in the 80s or the early 90s and it hadn't really popped, like, other than a couple of artists like a Moni Love or whoever, and it had kind of been washed been swept off the face of like the history books almost, and the, you know, like, we can't sell that because where do we sell it? we've got, I think the idea was that they felt like they had to sell it to Black America and that they didn't think they could, which is kind of funny when you look at what's happening right now.
Mm. Yeah.
In terms of the response to certain UK, what is essentially UK rap, UK hip hop, some derivative of, we could call it grime, we could call it whatever.
Road rap.
I mean, the first UK rap record, or the first record that I ever bought that I heard a British voice on, was Mark B and Blade, because I heard it on the radio. You know, and it was definitely more, it was a record that had more of a commercial aspect to it, because it, you know, so it was a definitely an accessible thing for someone that had only listened to Tupac.
So I remember a tune with him and like RZA or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Does that exist?
Yeah, Blade was on a record.
Just in my imagination.
No. And Mr. Tibbs was on there.
Yeah.
Skinny Man
was on there. Yeah.
But you know, you just made me think something about the Mark B and Blade, the Unknown record. You literally, I hadn't crossed my mind until now, but in a lot of respects, the Loyal Kana Yesterday's Gone album is kind of filling a kind of space that Mark B and Blade, the Unknown, kind of filled at that time, where it's like you say, it's making a kind of accessible inroad into a certain type of sound and a certain type of scene, because that you know, the Mark B and Blade, it had the Chester P verse, it had the Lewis Parker verse, it had like your inroads to like, these are the other guys to, you know, and I feel like you know what, Loyal's kind of done that with the getting me on the record.
And in a way, that's kind of what reminded me. I love the Jay Huss record, that Jay Huss album,
right?
Because in a way, there's bits of it which reminded me of that kind of stuff, the accessibility that gets people into just straight up rap. And he's talking a bunch of grease that's like, that's kind of funny, but not in a completely different way that Rodney P was doing it, or, you know, someone else of that era. And I rated that record. Jay Huss album's sick.
That's real.
But before we wrap up this episode of the Thanks for Trying podcast, I wanted to just quickly chat to you, Hugo, about the next season, because you've just finished filming.
Man. Yeah, been getting up early. Exclusive. Mad early.
Super early.
Yeah, learning lines. Like, I can't do that very well. Yeah.
Shit.
Like crayons and shit. But
fuck. Can you have cue cards?
I'd love that. I'd love that. Yeah. No, it was sick, man. It's proper surreal every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe that there's all these people running around after us.
Fucking great.
Madness.
And has it gotten bigger because of the, you know, has the crew gotten bigger? Has the setup done?
Like, not really. Like, and we tried to keep the vibe on set good. Like, there's no like hierarchies or like, you know, like we talk to everyone.
Mm.
It's just, we just want it to be a good vibe. And I feel that's really important. Like,
good. The catering good?
No, the catering was dead actually.
Oh, man.
But like, the caterers were nice people, so a big up Deliveroo as well, man. That's a game changer.
Damn. So I was gutted. I wanted to fucking cameo and I wasn't in the country.
You're too active, man.
Bro,
too active.
Next season, I'm there. So you, and when's this coming out? When's the next?
I think it's in September, but I don't know. Like, but I've been told September, but it will change, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and like, because you got to fit into like a scheduling thing. I know nothing about
fucking scheduling. It's the man keeping us down.
The Illuminati. It's the fucking schedule Illuminati. Us in.
It's Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jigga Man, schedule me in. I'm ready.
All right, well, thank you so much. That has been episode 15 of the Thanks for Trying podcast. Thank you so much to my guests, Hugo, Beats, and Jest. Big up yourself.
You've been listening to episode 15 of the Thanks for Trying podcast with myself, The Last Skeptic. Shout out to my guests, Jest, Hugo, DJ Beats. Big thank you to Seb White for recording the show. Do not forget to subscribe, comment, all of that, and buy your goddamn tickets now for September 17th. Thanks for Trying podcast live at the Phoenix in central London. Big up yourselves. Catch you next month.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.